You can find it in the myths and folklore of pretty much all Mesoamerican cultures, as well as cultures more diverse around the world. Hungarians call it Egig Erofa, the sky-high tree, or Eletfa, the tree of life. To the Norse, it was Yggdrasil, the world tree. The world tree at the base of which was the pool of the wise woman Mimir, on which Odin sacrificed himself to learn the secrets of the rune stones and of magic, and into which Lif and Lifthrar will be hidden during Ragnarok, so that after all of the destruction, they might emerge as the first woman and first man and begin it all again. The world tree motif shows up in religious myths around the world. It is an example of the axis mundi, the center, the pillar, the center of the world, of the cosmos, around which everything turns. It is said that the world tree connects heaven, which rests in its branches, through the earth, where its trunk can be found, down into the underworld, where its roots grow. In his book, Creation of the Sacred, Tracts of Biology in Early Religion, scholar Walter Burkitt suggests that because our ancient primate ancestors lived in trees for roughly 60 million years, the idea of a world-sustaining, life-sustaining tree may have been coded into our DNA, which is why it shows up again and again and again. And trees aren't just cosmic symbols either. At a tree planting ceremony I attended some years ago, the worship leader noted that a remarkably large number of people, if asked, could name at least one tree that had a special place in their heart. We went around the circle, and sure enough, everyone had a story. For one, it was about the tree that one of their children planted while in elementary school, that they watched grow as their child grew until both eventually were bigger than the house. Another person spoke about a tree on their grandparents' property in which they climbed when they were little, played in the treehouse when they were a little older, snuck out for a smoke under when they were older still, and how personal and painful it felt when that tree eventually had to be cut down. I remember someone else talking about how, while visiting Sequoia National Park, they were deeply moved by the realization of just how old those trees were and how much history they had witnessed. If only those trees could talk, they said. Maybe you can think of such a tree in your life. The Trappist monk Father Thomas Merton once wrote, "Nothing has ever been said about God that has not already been said better by the wind in the pine trees." Nature is often called God's other Bible. Emerson talked about how being in the woods brought him to a profound spiritual place. In the woods, he wrote, "We return to reason and faith. There I feel nothing can befall me in life, no disgrace, no calamity, leaving me my eyes, which nature cannot repair. Standing on the bare ground, my head bathed by the blithe air and uplifted into infinite space, all mean egotism vanishes. I become a transparent eyeball. I am nothing. I see all. The currents of the universal being circulate through me. I am part or particle of God." I've known a lot of people who, when things are hard, go out and find a tree that they can rest against, feeling through their backs that tree's strength and stability. Again, maybe you have too. This morning, I want to explore this symbol of the tree in an even more personal way. But first, I need to give you a little science, because this background makes the symbols work. So, there are five structures that make up a tree: the roots, trunk, branches, leaves, and seeds. Roots are usually the first part of a plant to emerge during germination, and they have two primary purposes: to bring water and nutrients from the soil up into the tree, and to provide the tree stability. Some plants have roots that grow deep, others spread themselves wide. In her poem, Connections Are Made Slowly, which is number 5568 in our hymnal, the poet Marge Piercy reminds us that more than half a tree is spread out under your feet. Now, when I looked up the purpose of the tree trunk, what I found again and again was the simple statement that it's what connects the roots to the canopy. It is the in-between thing. Now, you might be tempted, as I was, to think that this makes it the reason for the tree's existence, because after all, nutrients come down from the leaves, come up from the roots, and it's what's being fed. But it's more accurate to say that the seed is the purpose of the tree, the continuation of the species. And so that brings us back again to the role of the tree being that which connects the roots to the canopy. Now, to dig into this a little more, there are four parts of a tree trunk: the bark, cambium, xylem, and heartwood. And there will not be a test, so don't worry. Now, the bark we know because it's the part we see, the outermost part. And like our own epithelial layer, it's serving to protect the more delicate parts inside. And like our epithelial layer, the outer bark is made up of dead cells. Now, I say outer bark because there's an inner bark that's quite a bit different than that. It has its own name, phloem, yet it's not considered a separate part of the tree. It is part of the bark. The phloem is filled with and made up of tubes like drinking straws. And it is through these tubes that the water and nutrients the roots have taken from the soil move up into the tree. Now, I'm going to skip over the cambium for a moment, that next layer in, and jump to the xylem. This is sort of a reverse phloem. The xylem is also made up of straw-like tubes, only these bring the food created by the leaves' photosynthesis down into the rest of the tree. Eventually, the xylem die and it becomes a part of the heartwood, the very center of the tree, a dead layer that provides the tree's stability. It's a little intimidating knowing I have a master gardener right in the front row. Apologies to anything I get wrong. Now, I skipped over the cambium because which is that layer between the phloem and the xylem, because if I've understood what I've read correctly, it's made up of cells that can become either of those other two layers depending on the tree's needs. Like our stem cells, I suppose, the cells of the cambium become what's needed of them, either more phloem or more xylem, as the tree requires it. And in a very real sense, they're what makes the tree grow in rings as it grows older. So that's the root and the trunk, and I promise the science lesson will be over soon, but I want us to be able to use all these pieces of information for the symbolism they hold. The branches are the tree's way of getting the leaves out into the sunlight. That's why they grow the way they do, twisting this way and that. That's why they'll grow around things, yet are always moving upward. They're the vehicle that the tree uses to move the leaves so as to get maximum exposure to the sun. Because leaves work their magic of photosynthesis, turning light, sunlight, air, and water into sugar, the food that the tree most needs. And as I said earlier, you could say that the purpose of all of this, the reason for the roots, trunk, branches, and leaves, is so that the tree can produce seeds, whether in fruit, wings, cones, or husks. The purpose of the tree, you could say, is its own propagation, the eternal perpetuation of itself and the species. Okay, so here we go. Let's say that the trunk is us, you and me, any of us. We, like the trunk of the tree, live between the roots which go down metaphorically into the past and upward to the leaves, the canopy, which could be seen as a metaphor for the future. We draw on those who came before, drawing into us all the legacy, the strength, the wisdom, the foibles and follies, even the lessons we can glean from their failures. This inheritance is what nourishes us. Now, the image on the wall behind me is a family tree, but it's different than the standard one because it was created with adoptive families in mind. Because adopted children don't have just one set of roots. They have multiple sets of roots. My children are connected to the ancestors of their birth parents, and even though we don't share a blood connection, they're connected to my ancestors and the ancestors of my wife. And their children and their children's children will also have this wider lineage. And so the roots are also as important to this family tree as are the branches. This approach of seeing the roots of a family tree is good for non-adopted families also, because the ancestors who support us, who provide us with sustenance, are not all related to us by blood. Sometimes we call on, we choose, we find ancestors to bring to us what we need. Next Sunday is our annual Ancestor Sunday service, a part of which includes the creation of an ancestor's altar, onto which we place photographs, mementos, and other objects that recognize and honor all of these roots, these ancestors. And so please remember to bring your objects with you next week. Now, for us today, we are the trunk. And we too have a layer of emotional and spiritual protection, which is often made up for the most part of assumptions, habits, and patterns of our past, which no longer serve us, which in a sense are dead to their original purpose. Now, this isn't necessarily a bad thing. These things can provide us protection, but not always. And so sometimes we have to be like the shagbark hickory and certain varieties of maple and the white birch, which shed their bark regularly. It's a beautiful thing to come across these peelings, which have exposed a new and renewed layer of protection for the tree. It's worth noting, too, that this outer layer that's largely made up of outmoded parts of our history is intimately tied to the parts of us which are drawing up the gifts of our ancestors. They are not unrelated to one another. Both of them help us to weather the weather. We also draw sustenance from our futures, odd as that might seem. We too are here in large part for them, for those who have not yet come. I often say that our congregation must be strong and healthy now, not only for ourselves, but also for those who haven't come yet. Just as our religious ancestors planted this community 75 years ago, we too, by what we do, are preparing for future generations. Now, if we are wise, if we are grounded, then we also have a part of ourselves, a dimension of our consciousness, our hearts, our spirits, whatever you wish to call it, that adapts to the needs of the moment, helping us to discern which will feed us most right here and right now. Do we call upon our ancestors, our past, our inheritance, or draw strength from the future? Like the tree's cambium, it is good to be able to adapt and move as we need to. Now, the heartwood. Perhaps that's just what it sounds like. For in a very real sense, it is our hearts which provide us with our greatest strength and stability. It's what holds us up. By now you're seeing where I'm going with all of this. So our branches are the ways we reach out to the warm glow of relationships. We humans are a communal species. You and I were not built to go it alone. Sometimes the route to real relationships is circuitous. Sometimes we have to wend and wind our ways to get there. Yet if we listen deeply and well, we will always find ourselves moving toward love. Then there are the leaves, the interactions, the kindnesses done, the generosity shown, the gifts shared. These things that make love real and make it possible for us to produce seeds that will live on. In virtually every memorial service I have ever officiated, a recurrent theme is that the person being remembered, mourned, celebrated, had lived a life that would go on living in the lives of those who remembered them. Over and over, I've heard people say essentially that they intend to move forward from their loss with something of their loved one inside them, growing, shaping their futures. And these same people talk about how they hope to pass these things on to their children and their children's children and on through the generations to come. Leaves, branches, trunks, and roots. It takes all of a tree to be a tree. If any part were missing or different, it would not be, it could not be what it is. And neither can we. Leaves, branches, trunk, and roots, where we came from, who we are, and where we're going. It's what makes us, us. So let us learn from the wisdom of those trees. I invite us into a moment of silence.